16 million colors. Wreak some havoc in your head. Welcome to Titancast, your home for Sega Saturn news, commentary, personal stories, and more. My name's Samuel, the Southern Sega Gentleman. With me today, hailing all the way from Manchester, our patron saint, Father K, Simon. Also, we have our sleeper, hailing all the way from Portugal, the Nuno, Nebuchadnezzar. And as always, we've got our West Coast correspondent, Brian, the Virtuous Schlub. Alright, gentlemen. We have a pretty good topic lined out today, but before we get to all that, let's go ahead and cover up some news and all that, and I figured we'd go ahead and start off with Simon, as we always do, and find out what's going on with the Facebook group.
Okay, well, there's always a lot going on the Facebook group. I'm going to mention a little thing that we've got going at the moment, which I'm hoping we're going to get some more entries for, and that's the Saturn Munchies, which is putting your gaming food and games next to each other in a photo opportunity sort of way, and taking a snap of your favorite meal that you're going to have shortly before playing your favorite game. So if we can get some more Saturn Munchies pictures, that would really make me happy. The other news I've got is just that I've posted a few gifts, which one of which has reached Australia, and that's to Billy O, the Segata Sanshiro expert, and I've sent him the Segata Sanshiro game. And that reached him in Australia. But what has kind of upset me a little bit is that I sent Morgan, one of our admins in Alabama, Action Replay card, which is flash modded, and a few games, and she's not got them, and she's waiting for them every day, and she keeps asking me every day how long it is since I sent them, and do I have the receipt from the post office. So sending things and receiving things is a lovely thing that we do on the Facebook page occasionally. And every time I send something out, I'm not happy till the nation. So that's me. I've been worrying about where my Saturn gifts have been going. And that's all the news I've got, really.
All right, let's go over to Nuno, the sleeper. What's going on in Portugal?
What's up, guys? So I missed the last podcast. Sorry for that. I'm back now. And, well, I've been working on a video for the YouTube channel. And it's like, I don't know how many podcasts it will be with me talking about this video, because it's taking so long. But I'm loving it. I'm loving doing it. And I hope you'll love to see it, to watch it. It's going to be a bit long. I really don't know how many minutes it will be. But it will be a pretty long video and a pretty detailed video. It's not going to be for everyone. You have to be really interested in technical stuff, the technical side of Saturn games. But I think there will be people interested in that. So I think in the end it will be worth it. Well, it will already be worth it, because I'm just having a blast working on it. So stay tuned. One of these days it should drop. I can't promise when. I won't even try to give you guys a date. But it will happen.
The Saturn Junkyard taking DF Retro spot on YouTube. All right,
that's
Brian.
Right.
All right, Brian, what you got, brother?
I'm not sure anymore. I think I have like four or five videos in some level of progress, but I don't think any one of them are close to being done. In fact, I like filmed an entire one. I think it was going to be about Rhea, just to go over the Rhea Phoebe thing. I recently got one. I was going to talk a little bit about that, but it turned out that the audio recording was so bad. I don't know if my mic or whatever it was, I think I just need a new computer, because I've been having all sorts of issues regardless of what microphone I use with it, that I just couldn't salvage it. So I might have to just skip that one.
All right. Well, on my end, I've got a couple of videos in the work. We've got some more PC ports possibly coming our way. We also have a couple of reviews on the works. I'm not going to get too far into it, but one thing I do want to say, and this goes out to all of y'all listening, it goes out to all the fans. We really do truly, honestly appreciate every single one of you. I cannot stress that enough. Last night, before we record on Sunday, so this is Sunday. You'll hear us on Wednesday. But on Sunday, well, Saturday night, excuse me. Saturday night, we finally crossed our 200 subscriber mark on YouTube. Thank you very, very much, every single last one of you who have subscribed to the channel. If you are listening and you haven't subscribed, why haven't you? But on top of that, the really big news is that since last night, less than 12 hours ago, we have now already jumped up another 14 subscribers. Ladies and gentlemen, that means we added another whole 30 subscribers in less than 48 hours. Y'all people are absolutely amazing. We do this for y'all, and we appreciate every single one of you who stop by and watch us. And if you ain't checking in on the live streams every Sunday and every other Thursday, come on with it. You'll love it, I promise you. So with all the news out of the way, let's go ahead and get to the meat and potatoes of everything, and I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Brian, and he is going to be our moderator for the day while we talk about some beautiful, excellent shoot-em-ups.
All right, thanks, Sam. Yeah, I mean, I think for this, we'll probably keep it a little simple. There's going to be two parts. Part one, we'll go over, I guess I should first explain the topic, and that is shmups, especially two-dimensional shmups. So we took some time to think about some of the ones we wanted to talk about, whether they're our favorites or not. And then, so part one will be us going through just kind of roundtable describing some of our favorite shoot 'em ups. And part two will just be going over some of the themes and different mechanics and other aspects of shmups in general that we want to talk about just kind of as a free-form discussion. So, all right. So for the first part, I think I'll just go first and talk about a little game called Blast Wind. This is actually it's a vertical shooter for the Saturn, and it's a little bit. I mean, I don't think it's the most original game out there, and we'll probably get into some of the games that really do push boundaries as far as the genre is concerned when we get into your guys' picks. But I do think it's a fairly well-rounded shooter, and it does a couple of interesting things. It centers on a couple of different shot types, so you know, it's pretty standard as far as art style. It's all two-dimensional sprites and whatnot. And you have a couple of different shot types you can utilize, which are both more, or either one is probably more fitting for whatever situation you're in. You have a homing attack that's fairly weak, but it'll allow you to hit a lot of, kind of do like a crowd control kind of thing where you hit a lot of rapid-fire enemies around the screen that may be swarming you. And then you also have a kind of a vertical power shot that's a little stronger, and that is more useful on kind of the stronger enemies to give you a steady stream of attack there. There are multiple paths for this game, so a lot of shmups, as you guys will get into as well. I think Darius Gaiden and a few others do this, where you actually have the opportunity to decide what path you want to choose to go to different levels. This one, you're generally confined within the same level, but the multiple paths come to play in various routes that you can take through the same level. So there are, at certain points, there's going to be switches or barriers or something you can or buttons you can run into and activate mid-stage, and that'll give you the opportunity to see different parts of the level, fight different enemies, kind of have branching paths within the levels, which are kind of interesting. There's a little bit less emphasis, I think, on shot accuracy and just technical. I mean, there, you know, there's going to be a lot going on screen, and so there's a lot, even like the straight firing non-homing weapons has a lot of like supplemental rockets and stuff that fire out and do home in on enemies, so it's not necessarily a one or the other. You can, no matter what you're firing, you have that ability to hit stuff that's kind of in the just kind of in your peripheral or other parts of the screen that you're not necessarily aimed at, which kind of helps you focus on collecting power-ups and other things. You also have bombs, which in this case, I'm not usually a huge fan of this, where they kind of act as a get out of jail free card, more or less, where you're launching bombs and it pretty much automatically makes all of the enemies disappear or all of the enemy fire. So any bullets or anything that's coming at you just kind of disappear when you shoot a bomb that generally clears a good portion of the screen or does some damage to the bosses. I think you can also spam the bosses with this a little bit, so that kind of makes those fights a little less interesting, I think. The game really does go, it's pretty expensive. I think it goes for, I was looking at the eBay sold listings, and it's generally, it goes for about $200 to $300 these days. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I would really put it in that caliber. I don't think it's worth that price, honestly. If you can obtain it another way, I'd recommend that, because it's a fun game, and I had a lot of enjoyment out of it, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I think for the value and for what you're paying, there may be other shmups out there that provide more lasting value for that, for the prices they command. So I guess with that, we'll go on to the next pick, which will be Nuno's.
So when Brian first asked me to choose a couple of shoot 'em ups to talk about, there was one game that just immediately sprang to my mind. It's just like there was no way that I wouldn't choose it as one of my picks. And it is Dodonpachi. Now, this is the sequel to Donpachi. Instead of calling it Donpachi 2, they went with Dodonpachi. I don't even know what that means in Japanese. I just know that the game stuck, and every other sequel after that one was called Dodonpachi something. It was never as simple as 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like Dodonpachi Daifukatsu or Dodonpachi Daioju, stuff, funny stuff like that. But this is like, it was a groundbreaking game. Like, there's just no going around Dodonpachi. It's considered, well, it wasn't the first bullet hell shmup, and we're going to talk about more about what is a bullet hell, what makes a bullet hell shmup different from other styles of shoot 'em ups. What is usually considered the first shoot 'em up is Batsugun, which is also on the Saturn, and it's a great game. And after that came Dodonpachi 1, which is amazing game. And then there is Dodonpachi. And Dodonpachi is just, it's like, I wouldn't say it's perfection, because there's sequels and there's other games, and they all offer something new, something different, something unique. But Dodonpachi was just so, for the time, it was amazing. It was everything you wanted from a bullet hell, which wasn't even it was kind of a new genre by then, but it was made so well in Dodonpachi. Like the enemy patterns, the bullet patterns, the difficulty. It's a hard game. I mean, most of these games are hard. That's something common about shoot 'em ups in general. But it was hard, but it was challenging. The game didn't cheat you. If you lost, it was because you just weren't up to... you just weren't at the level that you should. And it's just amazingly fun. Okay, I know that I'm just saying stuff about the game like, oh, this game is amazing, instead of describing it. But that's just how I feel about this game. I don't even know how to put it into technical terms and say, oh, this game is good because of this and because of that. It's just play it. Chances are you've played it already if you're just the little bit into shoot 'em ups, because it's a classic. It's a game that everyone who's into shmups knows. And it's just amazing. I mean, Dodonpachi is just so damn fun. If you like shoot 'em ups, you have to play this game, because it's just, oh man, it's so cool. Like the explosions and stuff appearing on the screen, and weapon power-ups that cover the whole screen. It's so intense. It's so action-filled. And it's a visual spectacle, because the graphics are amazing and there's just so much stuff happening. And the soundtrack, I don't even pay attention to the soundtrack. I'm just so absorbed by the actual gameplay. But supposedly it's good. It goes completely unnoticed by me. I'm just focused on the action. And well, I don't think I have much more to say, actually. It's amazing playing.
And that one was that was developed by Cave, right? Or was that just the original?
No, exactly. It's a classic Cave series. Yeah. They were all, actually not all. There was a sequel called Dodonpachi 2, which was not developed by Cave. You can immediately tell, because it has a 2 in the title instead of just a weird name. So it wasn't developed by Cave, and it's kind of obscure title. But the main series was and still is, because, as I said, there's a lot of sequels, and there were sequels released for recent consoles like the Xbox 360, the PS3. Mm. The games have been releasing on Steam for the last couple of years or so. I think some, if not most, Dodonpachi games are on Steam nowadays. Nice. And yes, they were developed by Cape. The first game I mentioned, which is kind of the precursor for Donpachi, which is called Batsugun. That was not developed by Cave because Cave didn't exist back then. It was developed by, I always mix this up, I think it was Rising. It was called Rising, which was a company that also excelled in terms of shoot 'em ups, but then the company dissolved and a lot of employees. I hope I am saying this right. I mean, it just go on Wikipedia. I might be mixing things up and saying absolute, be saying things that are totally wrong, but I think it's like this. The company that made Batsugun went down, and a lot of the guys who worked on Batsugun formed Cave and made Donpachi. So that's why the games are so similar, and Donpachi is kind of a sequel to Batsugun.
Cool, I didn't realize that. All right, well, Sam, how about you?
Well, you know, I know that you had talked about 2D shooters, but you see, I got that coming up. I got my 2D shooter coming up. But first off, I've got to talk about one of my favorite, absolute favorite smups. And its predecessor was 2D, at least. And most of y'all, if you're really big shmups fans, you should probably understand what I'm about to say or have an idea of what I'm about to say. I'm talking about Layer Section 2. Layer Section 2, otherwise known as Raystorm. It was Raystorm in the arcades. It was Raystorm on the PS1. It never saw an American release on the Saturn. It did see an American release on the PlayStation. Working Designs brought it over. It was originally developed by Taito, released in 1997, at least for consoles. That was the first time it came over up on the Saturn. And if you're not familiar with... If you're not familiar with Layer Section 2, basically it is, what makes it really, really enjoyable is that it is very, very beautiful 3D. Not only is it very beautiful 3D, but it also has all these cinematics in it that whenever I first got to play the game, it just blew my mind how these cinematics work. But to give you some idea of the gameplay, basically you are in a third person kind of backed up point of view, and it's a what would it be considered? Is that a horizontal or vertical? You're going from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. You're stuck in position. Now, you don't necessarily have the ability to change your paths per se, but what you can do is, like, what's amazing about it is, like, boss fights, for instance. The very first boss fight you go through, the screen is moving all over the place. You're chasing the boss. It really puts you into it and kind of gives you this kind of fighter feel to it. Of course, it's not a fighter. It's not like, you know, a simulator or anything like that. But it was interesting how it did things. On top of that, you have a lower level of the combat area, lower level where the enemies can come through, and you have a layer that you are on top of, that you're actually at that same height. Now, enemies that are coming straight at you, you've got your Vulcan cannons that you can take out anything that's on the same layer as you, and some enemies will go from the bottom to the top. Sometimes they just stay on the bottom. On top of that, you also have a homing laser. And you have two different types of special attacks. The first one basically annihilates everything on screen. It's basically just like a machine gun blast all over the place. Your second attack is really how would I describe it? It's basically all your lock-on missiles, all your homing lasers, whatever you want to call them. You can target one enemy and just go to town on him and annihilate it. What's really cool about this game in particular, though, is that, you know, if you've caught up with the YouTube videos, if you know me in any way, I really enjoy story. I really want to know what's going on with the story. And Layer Section 2 takes place in 2400, I believe, something around that time. It's like 300 years in the future. It might be 100 years. I might have my times wrong. But it's set in the future. The world is completely different. The whole world has been annihilated, it seems like. And it's just, I really get built into it because I'm not just one of them guys who just wants to slap in a game and play and shoot stuff and kill stuff or whatever the case might be. I really enjoy getting into a story, even if it's a very simplistic story, because I am a huge immersion gamer. You know, back in the 90s, I could just get into it and play Sonic for a little while and run all over the place, or, you know, put in NBA Jam and shoot some hoops on you. But as I grew up, I had to have some kind of story. And whenever it comes to this, I mean, it's not like it's really fleshed out in the sense of an RPG or anything like that, but it's something tacked on for fun. And I really enjoy that aspect. On top of that, you know, Layer Section 2 doesn't, it's not a bullet hell game per se. It's just at times you have so many enemies on screen. And to me, it's more about trying to get 100% hit rate, which at times is extremely difficult. And like I was talking about with the bosses, you know, you've got these these aspects of the bosses moving around. Their attacks on you are completely different, and it's not a 2D game to where you can just kind of, you know, sit up in the top hand corner and get missed. I mean, you're more in the action, and your perception of everything is a little bit different. On top of that, this game generally, imported wise, only goes for about $60 on the Saturn. Well, $60 on the low end. I have seen it pretty high up in, you know, possibly around 100 or so. But if you're wanting a really good shmup and you're not wanting to have to pay the $150, $200 plus that some of these games go for, like, say, Radiant Silver Gun, then I really think Layer Section is a good option for you. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's not going to be too hard for you. It's something that you can get into, pick up, and play. And you won't necessarily have to completely memorize everything. It's not one of the memorization games. It's not a memorization shmup. I mean, even though there are patterns to it, but it doesn't really feel that way. So I think it's a good title for people to get into, and I also think it's a good title for shmup fans who really like to test themselves with 100% hit rates and stuff like that. So that's my first pick.
That sounds awesome. I've been playing the first Layer Section, so, and I like some of the things it does, especially with that multi-tiered, you know, the lock-on bombs and everything that kind of interact with the other plane of enemies. And so, yeah, I look forward to trying that one out. I'll have to track it down.
Most definitely recommend it, man.
Okay, so Simon, what do you got?
I'm going to say that I came very late to the shmup party. I didn't play my first shmup till 2007, which was the Dreamcast Last Hope. And the reason for that is that back in the days of the Saturn, invested in 2D, I made the mistake, and I know it was a big mistake, of thinking 2D meant retro. So I kind of left 2D fighters alone, and shmups, 2D shmups just didn't appeal. I wanted to play 3D games like Virtua Cop and Virtua Fighter and Sega Rally and things like that, which to me looked really modern. Nord shmups completely. And I'm going to make a confession now and say that the first time I ever played a Saturn shoot 'em up was 2017.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's another one of those confession times, guys, where I admit my shame. But coming late to the party, the information I got and what made me want to play the first shmup I got into was watching Metal Jesus and his show where he had his Saturn expert and Saturn collector Anna on. And she talked about a game called Sexy Parodius. Choice today, Sexy Parodius, but I'm going to choose another Parodius game. There are many of them. They sort of come under a subgenre of cute-em-ups, because rather than it being spaceships and flying through space and taking on aliens and other spaceships and stuff, you're flying through strange landscapes in this game, I guess would be the best description, where rather than spaceships flying at you, you've got cute animals, chickens, you've got strange floating heads. It's a really strange game. As well as not having your usual space setting or your, you know, your sort of flying up along setting, you've got unusual characters as well. So Vic Viper, and there's a pig called Michael, an octopus, a fish, a penguin, and so on. And a girl, a bunny girl riding a rocket is one of the characters. So really strange series of games. The one I'm going to choose is called Gakujo Parodius Dar, because initially I was attracted to Sexy Parodius because Sexy is not a game name. It's not a name that you would expect to find Sexy attached to a gaming thing. Certainly in the West, we don't associate sex in video games, maybe like they do in Japan. So I was initially just intrigued by the subject matter of Sexy Parodius. You can find semi-naked women floating in baths, cartoon representations of nothing particularly sordid or anything about it. It's all quite Sexy Parodius. More of a carry-on style for our UK listeners. They'll know what that means. But yeah, in Gakujo Parodius Dar, it's a left-to-right horizontal, I guess, side-scrolling shooter. Various power-ups. The character of choice I always go for is Michael the Pig. And one of the important features this I wanted to say was it's the opposite of a bullet hell. It's very, very manageable. The screen is never too crowded or difficult. You don't have to remember patterns intricately. And this is the big thing for me. there are two great features to this game. As someone who's not particularly brilliant in general, there is what seems to be unlimited continues, which is really important for my enjoyment of this game because it allows me to just play through the levels. And there is also an auto feature, so weapon or a special weapon. You don't have to press a separate button. It automatically will launch for you. Special weapon, Michael the Pig, is that he has a heat-seeking missile. So rather than having to launch that yourself in the middle of a battle for you, and it will find the enemies for you, which it might sound like having stabilizer wheels on a bike as you're going out for a bike ride, and maybe that is, but it makes it playable for me. And so, yeah, it's a forgiving shmup, a cute 'em up, I guess you'd call it. And there are loads of strange bosses as well, as well as the power-ups. You get loads of power-ups, which are velocity or the speed that you can fire at and the power that you can fire at. And there are special weapons that you can get by flying into bells, of course, which it will be in this strange world. You go through a cake world at one point with knives, butter knives coming at you and fruit dropping on you. It's just insane. The music's really good as well, and the colours are absolutely vivid. I would say it seems that whoever's designed and created this game maybe gathered a few mushrooms on his way to work that day, I don't know, but it's strange as you like. It's colourful, it's strange, it's funny, it's not too hard to play either. So that's my choice, Gakuju Parodius Dar from Konami.
You know, you make it really hard not to laugh on stream, I'm just saying. We're eating shrooms in this junkyard, man.
I mean, they are definitely unique games from what I mean. I think I've only played the first Parodius. I don't know, but I need to play more of them because I agree. I really like the carnival type atmosphere and the music and everything just kind of is very whimsical. I feel like either shrooms are probably about right. It's a kind of a psychedelic experience in some ways. So that'll bring me to my second pick here, and I don't think this one needs a ton of introduction. It is Radiant Silvergun. It is a treasure classic, and I absolutely love this game. And Simon, I'm kind of actually in the same boat as you, where I didn't really get into shooters until relatively recently, especially for the Saturn. However, predating a lot of my experience with Saturn shmups, I first played Radiant Silvergun on the Xbox 360, and it's also available. I think you can still buy it on XBLA or on Xbox One, and it's pretty cheap. But for the Saturn, it's not cheap. It's like, I think it's going for, I don't know, around $200 these days, maybe a little bit less than that, as I think most of the. So even though it's available digitally, it seems to still be holding its value pretty well, and it was only released in Japan, as far as I know. I don't know the best way to describe it or even where to begin because it just does so many interesting, unique, fascinating things for the genre that I think Treasure is pretty much known for doing. They really push the boundaries in a lot of unexpected ways, and it really becomes one of the most multifaceted shmups I've yet played. And it is an example, I think, of a game that just gets everything right balance-wise. And I don't even view it necessarily as a straight shmup in some senses. I mean, you get a lot of different weapons. I think you start out with, you always have, like, I think six weapons plus a sword kind of attack thing that helps you absorb some of the bullets. And each weapon is very distinct and is useful in very specific situations. Now you can all mix and match that, you know, each button is assigned to one of the weapons, and it kind of makes it feel almost like a puzzle game in some ways as you're trying to figure out which weapon is best suited for the layout of whatever enemies you're fighting, or whatever even the stage kind of has some impact on that as well, as far as the stage layout. And you know, the really cool thing about this is that the weapons level up the more you use them. There's a progression that that carries over from playthrough to playthrough. So the more you use a weapon, the more you destroy enemies with it, the better it's going to get over time and the more powerful. So your initial like straight shot, which begins just like a couple of like two bullets, essentially. That stream straight forward, that becomes eventually three bullets, four bullets, up to like five bullets as you level it up. And you do that by just continuously playing through the game over and over. And the more enemies you kill, it's almost like an experience point system, I think. And then you can save your progress at the end of each playthrough and pick up right where you left off when you start a new playthrough with the same level of weapons that you had prior, which I think is a really unique kind of way to integrate some of those RPG elements to the shmup genre that I immediately was attracted to. And I think you also amass more continues as you put more playtime into it. I believe Ikaruga, which Treasure later developed, also did this. And there are a lot of commonalities between the two games, but for Radiant Silver Gun in particular, it's just a brilliant design. I mean, the gameplay forces you to be adaptive and use the different weapons. It also has, I think the scoring system is a little unique too, because each enemy is color-coded. I think you have yellow, blue, and red enemies. And the more you focus on destroying one enemy or one color type in the same succession. So if you can shoot, you know, just red enemies for a while and ignore the yellow and blue ones, that actually, your multiplier just skyrockets as you focus on that same, on those light colors without breaking the chain by destroying other colored enemies. And that makes things a little more interesting, just because it becomes less about, I mean, and you certainly can play it to destroy everything and just, you know, that will give you a better chance of surviving and making it through. But it is kind of fun to force yourself to be a little more judicious in who you, in what enemies you target, to really maximize your score multipliers. And that becomes a really fun way to focus on playing later on once you get the basics down. The boss battles are also really interesting. I think the bosses are rendered in 3D, and the graphics in general just do a really fantastic job. I mean, they're just beautiful for one thing, and they mix a lot of 2D sprites with a lot of the enemies and your own ship, along with 3D planes and other 3D bosses. I think most of the bosses are rendered in full 3D, and it's just a beautiful combination. I think Treasure really nailed that aesthetic. And what's really cool is even beyond just the looks of the stages, there's a lot of innovation in how they're designed. They're very memorable, and that you will go through a series of narrow corridors and then open areas, and all the backgrounds are so varied. It just, you really can't forget each area. It feels so distinct. And at some point there's a section, I think it's like later on in level 4, where you're going through a series of corridors that have moving boxes that block your path, and you can shoot the boxes, but you can also not shoot the ones that are different colors that you're focusing on to help kind of keep that chain going. But it almost ends up you have to like fly through the corridor and fly, you know, weave through the boxes and time your movements so you can cross the various paths. Along with, you know, so you don't run into the boxes, which are each moving in different directions across the stage. It almost reminds me kind of Frogger. I feel like I'm playing Frogger while I'm playing a shmup, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, so all of this together, I feel like Radiant Silver Gun, the more I play it, it's just become one of my favorite Saturn games, for sure. And it is expensive, as I mentioned. It's also the Japanese version. I think there is a lot of dialogue, at least for a shmup, but it is all in Japanese, and you're not necessarily going to understand it, although I don't think that's really requisite to enjoying the game by any means. But the version on Xbox Live is a lot cheaper. I think it's like $10 or $15, and it is actually translated in English. So that's a good way to play it if you want to absorb get the story as well. But really, I feel like the progression kind of opens that, the whole progression system opens it up to be really the perfect shmup for people who are new to the genre, because you don't feel like you're starting from scratch each time you play it. You kind of pick up with the leveled up weapons that you had before. But you can also go back and just play it so it resets each time, to play it like a regular shmup as well, if you're more into the challenge. So I can't recommend this game enough. It's one of my favorite shmups, and maybe even one of my favorite Saturn games overall. So what do you got, Nuno? What's your second pick?
Well, first of all, I got a question for you. Do you know a game, a Japanese game developer called Cute, with a Q, not a C? Q-U-T-E.
Yeah.
Brian, that was for you.
Yeah, I don't.
Sam, do you?
I have heard of them. I have heard of them before. Now, I do not know any particular titles that they have released, but I actually think it might have been on the Shiro, one of the Shiro casts. I actually heard that name before. It's relatively new to me, though. You want to fill us in on some of it?
Yeah, it's just a little joke. It's not related to the game I'm going to talk about at all. They made a couple of shoot 'em ups for the Wonder Swan Color, that weird, obscure handheld that was. I mean, it wasn't just released in Japan, but I think it was mostly popular in Japan. And one of those shoot 'em ups was called Judgment Silver Sword. I don't know if it's supposed to be. I mean, come on, guys. It's really close to Radiant Silver Gun. Let's be honest here.
A little bit. Judgment Silver Sword.
Really? It's not a silver gun. It's a silver sword.
Does that have any relevance to Judge Dredd and, you know, AD 2000 or anything like that?
Repeat that, please.
We just went on a tangent. I figured that maybe it had something to do with Judge Dredd. It might have been like the Justifier's fourth type of fire mode. I mean, I don't know. We got any 2000 AD fans out there? Come on, live it up, man. We got a whole bunch of British people.
I am a huge, huge, huge 2000 AD. I have issue one from like 1977. So I'm hardcore 2000 AD.
This is completely derailing. Back to you, Brian.
Back to you, Nuno.
Okay, now that was just a stupid joke. But by the way, when I talked about Odonpachi, I said that Batsugun was developed by Rising. I knew that was wrong. It was developed by Toaplan, which then went under, and some of the developers formed Cape and made Odonpachi. The reason why I was thinking of Rising, it's because it's a company that was also made by other Toaplan employees. So some of those guys founded Cape, other guys founded Rising. And they actually made it kind of relates to the Saturn, because they made one of the most well-known shoot 'em ups on the Saturn, which is Battle Garega. It was also guys that worked on Batsugun. But I'm not all going to talk about either of those games. I'm going to talk about Sengoku Blade. Now, I had to choose as my second game a game by Sekio, which is a developer, a Japanese developer, that I love their games. They mostly do shoot 'em ups, and I love their shoot 'em ups. They have this kind of specific style that's shared across most of their shoot 'em ups, to the point that a lot of people criticize them for basically making the game same game over and over and giving it a different title. I wouldn't go that far, but it's true that most of their games share a lot of gameplay mechanics and same style and same feel, and that's a great thing for me, actually, because I really like their games. So I had to choose one. They have a lot of games on the Saturn. They have the Strikers 1945 series, which is kind of like that Capcom series about shoot 'em ups in World War II, but they play totally different. And they've made Gunbird, which is on the Dreamcast, and Zero Gunner. They made a lot of shoot 'em ups. But I chose Sengoku Blade. It's the second one in the series. The first one was called Sengoku Ace. Then they made Sengoku Blade, and they also made Sengoku Ace Episode 3. In 2000 and something, 2005 or around that, for the PSP, but that game absolutely sucks. Unfortunately, I was so hyped to play a modern niche game from them. Unfortunately, it's not really good, but Sengoku Blade is really good. and it's a horizontal shoot 'em up. This is something that I think we're going to address also in the second part of this podcast, the differences between vertical and horizontal shoot 'em ups. It's not just, well, obviously it's the orientation, but it's beyond that. There are gameplay mechanics and styles of gameplay that are kind of tied to each style. And I don't like horizontal shoot 'em ups a lot. I really like the feel and the play of vertical shoot 'em ups. And because Sekiro always does vertical shoot 'em ups, the only time they did an horizontal one, it plays really exactly like a vertical shoot 'em up. Only it's horizontal, but the style, the feel of the gameplay, it's totally a vertical shoot 'em up, and that's why I like it. And once again, I find it really hard to put into words, because when it comes to shoot 'em ups, I totally go by feel. If the gameplay feels right, if the gameplay is fun, I fall in love with the game. If something doesn't feel right, I don't like the game, as it happens with Battle Garega, for example. And I find it hard to explain exactly what makes me like or not like a game. In this case, I think it's the overall balance of the game. It's actually one of the easier shoot-em-ups, and by easier, I mean it's still pretty damn hard. It's just that there are a lot of difficulty settings. So you can go like normal, easy, very easy, very, very easy, or something like that, if you choose the easiest setting. And the enemy placements, the enemy patterns. It's really cool. And in terms of setting, it's not usual space setting or modern, like spacecrafts or ships, airplanes or something like that. You actually control characters. You don't control a ship or any kind of vehicle. You control a character. And in that regard, it makes me think of more modern series like Shikigami no Shiro, where you also control actual people and not vehicles. And it's set in, I wouldn't say medieval Japan, because it's a weird mixture where on one hand you have totally medieval Japan stuff. Actually, Sengoku is a period in Japan. It's what they call a certain period in Japan. That I think I may be mistaken, but I think it's sort of kind of at the same time of our European Middle Ages or something like that, or the late European Middle Ages. And so it has that traditional ancient Japanese theme, but at the same time you have fantasy stuff, because, well, your characters fly in the air and shoot stuff, and but the enemies are also mechanic. There are mechanic elements, and as I said, the fantasy elements also in the bosses and stuff like that. It's a very colorful game, and as I said, it's relatively easy. It's not really easy when you're talking about shoot 'em ups. You always have to keep this in mind, that shoot 'em ups are never, never easy, but some are still easier than others. And it's just fun, and it's colorful, and every character really plays differently. Sometimes in every shoot 'em up, you always have a selection of characters, ships, whatever. They don't always play that differently. In this game, they do play differently. And I like the game so much that I actually ended up playing with all characters. You have 5 standard characters to begin with, but then you unlock, I can't remember if it's 1 or 2 characters that you unlock as you play. And I like this game so much, I played it over sometimes in a row. Like I would beat the game and I would immediately go to the main menu and beat the game again with another character. And if I remember correctly, because I haven't played it in a while, so I might be wrong, but I think you also unlock stuff, bonus stuff, as you play, as you beat the game multiple times, like artwork. I think it was mostly artwork, just artwork. But once you get really into the game, just having artwork of the characters that you'll just spend, like, I don't know how many minutes or hours with, it's cool. And I like the game so much that I did something that I rarely do, which is just beat it in a row with different characters. And so if you like vertical shoot 'em ups and don't like horizontal ones, give this one a try, because it's an horizontal shoot 'em up that really plays like a vertical one, and it's damn good.
Alright, well I'm gonna have to try that. That's another one I have not played, but I really want to. So, Sam, what would be your second pick?
All right, I'm about to bring out the big guns. First off, let me preface this. Do not buy this game. I do not say do not buy this game because it's a bad game. I say do not buy this game because there is no game that's worth $400+. That includes Panzer Dragoon Saga. I'm sorry. But we're talking about Hyper Duel. This was a game that was introduced to me about 7 months ago for the first time. Now, that's not the first time I ever saw it, but I mean introduced in the sense that I actually saw it playing. I had heard about it before. Now, I saw it playing on YouTube. I can't remember who exactly it was. It actually might have been Saturn Memories Channel because I used to watch his channel a lot for playthroughs. But in the junkyard, back around November-ish, you know, about a month or two after we had opened up the group, there was a number of members who come in. Phil Krause, I believe. I might be getting that name wrong. But there was a number of members who popped in, and they were talking about shoot 'em ups, and we were saying which ones were our favorites, and somebody mentioned Hyper Duel, and I was like, man, I got to check this out. I've looked at it before, blah, blah. So, backup time, full disclosure, but let's put it this way. Hyper Duel, if you don't already realize, I'm about to paraphrase myself from one of my videos. There are two things I absolutely love. The very first thing is my Sega Saturn. The second thing is mechs. I love giant robots. I love giant robots. I love shoot 'em ups. This game throws those two together in awesome glory. It is amazing. It is a 2D horizontal shooter that gives the tight-knit spots of Radiant Silver Gun a run for its money. I mean, this thing right here is ridiculous with how much is going on screen at one time. You have so many enemies on screen, it is ridiculous. It is not bullet hell in the sense of like Ikaruga, but I'm going to tell you right now, there will be so many sprites on screen all at one time, it will blow you away. On top of that, this game is a Saturn. It's a Saturn exclusive, at least on consoles. But the Saturn release has the arcade mode, as per usual, but it also has a Saturn mode with it. The Saturn mode has upgraded graphics, better looking sprites, better gameplay. It's more challenging, in my opinion. I mean, it is amazing. You are flying a fighter. I can't remember exactly. Buster Gears. You're flying a Buster Gear. Now, these Buster Gears, if any of y'all are familiar with Macross or Robotech, any of those series like that, it is a variable fighter, meaning that it has two forms. It has its fighter mode, which gives you access to your general range of shoot 'em ups, where you know you have your main weapon, your Vulcan cannon or laser, whatever you want to call it. On top of that, you have a crap ton of pickups that you can grab along the way, power ups that can make it to where you are literally annihilating everything on screen. Now, nothing comes with you from one level to another. You start all the way over back on the next level, if my memory serves me right. But what's kind of cool about it is that you also have a robot mode, a mech mode. Now, in this mech mode, you can pop open and all of a sudden you have the ability to shoot off your machine gun, laser gun, whatever you want to call it, up to a 45 degree angle up and down. And that is amazing. Now, of course, you can't turn around and shoot enemies. You can only shoot forward. But it's still an absolutely amazing game. The gameplay is amazing. It puts you in some really tight spots. There are massive sprites that look absolutely beautiful for the bosses at the end of every single level. The corridor sections of it, it's insane. You have the ability to do multiple attacks anywhere from straight up, you know, in front of you to this just all around you 360-degree laser blast. And you also have your little satellites or whatever you want to call them. You have two versions of a satellite. You have another Buster Gear that will come to you in the form of a fighter. And you also have another Buster Gear that will come to you in the form of a mech. You can have both of these at the exact same time. Whenever I say there is so, your weapons shoot out a green blast, a green colored laser or bomb, whatever you want to call it, orb, whatever the case it might be. You can have so much coming from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen that you can almost not even tell the enemies are there. Like, it is ridiculous how much is going on screen at one time. I'm trying to think of really some really cool aspects of it. You know, the Saturn release also has full 3D opening. It has, cinematic opening. Your character select or your vehicle select is in full 3D. Trying to remember, it's either three or four that you get to pick from. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the biggest thing I wanted to talk about with this game, besides all the gameplay, besides, you know, just how immersive it can be, and it is extremely difficult at times. It is extremely difficult. Further, it's 8 stages. By the time you get to stage 7, if you make it that far without losing all your continues, you are going to be on the edge of your seat, especially if it's your first time playing the game. But I absolutely love the soundtrack from this game. I don't know what it is, but the soundtrack from this game, and I'll probably put some of the soundtrack music over this podcast, but it is amazing. It's like almost rockish at times. It's got soothing aspects at times. It keeps you, it matches up with everything that's going on the screen, and it really pulls me into it. Story-wise, basically, the story boils down to you got some aliens that come to Earth. They got mechs, they got fighters, they got giant ships, and your job is to go annihilate the hell out of them. There isn't really a lot of story. It's all in Japanese. It hasn't really been translated. But besides all that, just from a gameplay perspective, if you love shmups, if you love just grinding at a game, this is one of those games for you. Again, it is not worth the $400 asking price. I honestly do not believe it is. If you paid $400 for it, more power to you, but my wife ain't gonna let me do that. That's half my mortgage. So for me at least, $1, well, that ain't even $1, but a 50-cent Taiyo Uden Silver did me pretty good. And I got news for you. I play it religiously at least 2 or 3 times. I go through stages where I play certain games on a regular, and Hyperduel has been one of those games I've been playing once or twice a month, sitting down for about an hour and just grinding at it. I have yet to beat the game in one sitting. Let me rephrase that. I have yet to beat the game in one playthrough. So in other words, it's whooping the hell out of me, but I absolutely enjoy it. And if you're a glutton for punishment, especially whenever it comes for shmups, man, get on it, get in it. It is amazing. You will not be disappointed whatsoever. You will be frustrated. You will be angry. You might possibly break your pad, but I promise you, you'll have a good time with it.
Yeah, I was actually playing Hyperduel a little bit this morning. I totally get that, though. It's a fun game. I don't know if I'm alone in preferring the regular ship, or I guess when I use the A button instead of the B button, the mech mode, because the mech mode, I mean, it's a little slower, your shots are more powerful, but the aiming is kind of weird, where you have like 45 degree angles, which is kind of a little bit difficult for me to get used to, but I think once I do, I'll enjoy that just as much. Look forward to playing it more.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right, so that brings us to Simon's last pick. What do you got for us, Simon?
Okay, so I'm going to go for another cute 'em up, actually. And it was another recommended by Anna from Metal Jesus. It's called Game Tengoku, or The Game Paradise. And it's by a developer that I've never heard of before. I hope I'm going to say this right. It's either Jalico, I'm not sure which. It's from 1997. And it's another bling shmup. Well, it is for me anyway, because you do get the choice as to whether you have it as a horizontal shooter or a side-scrolling. So for me, it's another side-scrolling shooter. And this time, it's set in a amusement arcade. So rather than the parodious games, which seem to be all over the place, there is a unifying theme to this one. And you are making your way through a games arcade, so you're actually fighting games machines at one point, the actual arcade cabs themselves.
And meta
are also flying through UFO grabber machines, you know, the type of machine that where you grab a soft toy, you're fighting through one of those at one point. It's very much the same art style as the Proteus games, very cute sort of anime art style to it, lots of colors, strange characters again, and bizarrely enough, another one of your sort of characters that you can play as, because you're not just a spaceship again, can be a spaceship, but you can be a pig again. I don't know what the theme is running through these. They're not made by the same company, but you can be a pig again. And another unique, strange, cute, amusing game. And again, I'm going to sort of say this, it's got that unlimited continue, which for me is absolutely vital. And there's a very amusing thing that happens every time you press continue. You are thanked in a very amusing way. I'll let you find that out for yourselves if you ever get to play it. It's a strange game, and I'm not going to say too much about this one other than it's another cute 'em up. It's another Japanese import, which I believe you can get quite cheap. The two that I've chosen don't come into that huge price tag, which I agree with Sam. No game is worth over, the most I've ever paid is £80. I'd be very reluctant to go over £100, and even that really, when you think about what you're buying, too much. It's a game that you can import if you want the actual copy, I believe, for under £50. And stick funny, interesting game. So yeah, that would be my second choice. And like Nuno, I'm afraid I can't talk too much about this one. I haven't really at the same level of thought as I have the Parodius games, because I was really thinking about that before. This one is just good. It's got the same sort of general mechanics as most shoot 'em ups. You've got your power ups and you've got your special weapons and your attachments and so on. It's harder, I would say, than the Parodius games, but with the continues, that's kind of okay. So yeah, my second one is the game Paradise, so check that one out.
Very nice picks here. So I think that will conclude kind of the round table portion of our podcast. And I guess we could spend the last few minutes just talking about, I don't know, some general other subtopics or themes or other things we find interesting about shmups in general. And one of the ones you mentioned, Nuno, earlier is the distinction between a bullet hell shooter and, I guess, a shooter that's not a bullet hell shooter. I don't know what that term would be. Anti-bullet heaven? I don't know.
Just an average shooter, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, so what would you say, I mean, how would you define those, that distinction, you know?
Well, it's not like I'm an expert on the matter, but I have been playing shoot-em-ups for a long time. Actually, I talked a lot about shoot-em-ups back in the old yard. At one point, I thought I was going to review every shoot-em-up, every release for the Saturn. I ended up getting a little bit short of that, actually a lot short of that. I only covered, I don't know, a few.
There's still time, you know. There's still time.
There is, indeed, there is. And now we have other experts on shoot 'em ups, so on board. So but together we shall do it. But to answer your question, Brian, I've heard bullet hells summarized like this. Bullet hells are a lot of bullets coming at you really slow. Instead of a regular shoot 'em up, which has not so many bullets, but coming at you really fast. So a regular shoot 'em up, you have the point is to obviously dodge the bullets, and it's more of a reflex game, because not just a reflex game, because well, a bullet hells require reflexes too, but it's more of you have to kind of keep your eyes on the whole screen to see where the bullets are coming. There's not a lot of bullets, but they will hit you. Even if the screen seems relatively clear with only a handful of bullets, some of them will find you. And regular shoot-em-ups may seem easy, but they're not. Bullet hells are a bit different. Reflexes are also important, because some bullets come at you fast, but most bullets don't. Most bullets come at you, and the term bullet hell really comes from those moments, which is not the whole game, but there are lots of moments where the screen is almost literally filled with bullets. It happens mostly with bosses. Bosses are insane, especially as you ramp up the difficulty. Bosses in bullet hell games can get really insane. But the thing is, there's bullets all over the screen, but you have something on your side, which is the hitbox. The hitbox is the part of your ship that actually can't be hit by bullets. So it's not like your old ship. A bullet can touch, like using a regular like airplane, for example, a bullet can hit your wings, it can hit like the tip of your nose, but the hitbox usually is in the center, the dead center of your ship, character, whatever. So you have a relatively small area that you can't get hit there. So it's not the whole of your ship. And it's almost like a maze. Bullets in bullet hell games form like these moving, constantly changing, ever-changing maze, and you have to navigate through it. It's like killing enemies. You just keep the shoot button pressed, and eventually you're going to hit enemies. So that's not the focus. The focus is not on hitting enemies. That's like something that just happens as you play. The focus is on dodging. So you keep your eyes on your sheet.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's really fascinating. I mean, would you say then, like, you're kind of playing defensively, like, maybe 80, 90% of the time? Or do you think there are parts of that where if you, you know, are aggressive to be offensive at the outset, it reduces the need to be defensive by destroying ships that would cause some of the bullet hell chaos later on? Or do you feel like it just varies title to title?
Varies title to title. Those are good points, by the way. Thank you for bringing those up. It definitely varies by title and even by moments in the game, because when you're playing like the level, most of the level with against regular enemies, you do want to keep the enemies contained. You don't want to let the enemies gang up too much on you, because at some points it really is impossible. Sometimes it's just damn impossible if you let things get out of hand. But so you do have to be aggressive sometimes. And of course, there's always other elements like people usually say, people who are into bullet hell shmups, and even sometimes general shmups, they say that there's three phases in playing a new shoot 'em up. The first time you play a shoot 'em up, it's just to get to the end. You do everything you can, you use whatever, how many continues you need, you use bones, you use everything in your arsenal to get to the end of the game. The second time, you want to go for a 1cc run, which means 1 credit clear. So you're allowed to die, but you're not allowed to lose the credit. So you want to beat the game, you want to really master the game and beat the game in 1 credit. And then you go for score. When you already can beat the game somewhat easily, you go for score. And when you go for score, the timing when you hit enemies, when you kill enemies, and how you chain enemies together, because most of the times, obviously, every game has a different a scoring system, but usually it's about combos, it's about not spending too long, like more than 1 second between enemies. So if you want to get really hardcore into this, and I don't, by the way, I don't. I love these games, but getting to the end is already challenging enough. I don't do 1cc's, and I don't do score challenges. But people who do, they really have to be careful about the order in which they kill enemies, the timing in which they kill enemies. Maybe in one specific moment you want an enemy to get almost to your ship before you kill it, because then you can chain it with other enemies and stuff like that. But to go back to the maze aspect, it happens mostly in the bosses. And in the bosses, you can't play offensively, because bosses have huge life bars, and it's a game of patience and of time and of really memorizing the patterns, so that you can navigate the patterns. But it's not just about memorizing, it's about reflexes too, because navigate the patterns is really, really hard. It can get insane. Let's just go on YouTube. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to our listeners. Just go on YouTube and search for like Dodonpachi beaten on hard mode or something like that. It gets absolutely insane. And it's definitely a defensive game. It's a game of navigating this living maze, this ever-changing maze, where some bullets are big and slow, but then there's lasers that cover certain parts of the screen, and you have to kind of hide yourself on the corners of the screen, and then there's fast bullets, and then there's all kinds of crazy stuff going at you. And you have to dodge them, you have to be smart. It's like David against Goliath. You're this tiny ship with everything set against you, and you have to navigate, be agile, be nimble to survive. It's about surviving. It's not killing the boss. Killing the boss happens when just because you're pressing down the shoot button. But it's about surviving this onslaught of bullets.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't really thought of them that way. I mean, as viewing those games more as a maze, I think, I mean, it kind of helps, especially as I find myself spending more and more time focusing on you know, my ship and what I am, you know, what's immediately ahead of me and what's coming up, and just trying to figure out where I need to be by the time those bullets are, or where I am to avoid them. So, Simon or Sam, do you guys have any other topics that you might want to bring up as we start winding this down?
I'd like to go ahead and talk about something. Soundtracks, the actual music that you're listening to. I know a lot of people don't really get into soundtracks for music. I know a lot of people don't really care about soundtracks in music. Soundtracks in games. But to me, it's not about hearing the soundtrack so much as it is that the soundtrack gets you into the vibe. Like I was talking about with Hyperduel, there is a rhythm that goes with it, and it might not necessarily be rhythmic in the sense that it plays alongside what's going on screen. But kind of alluding to back what Nuno was talking about with the whole bullet hell aspects and all that, if I get into a game and it gets extremely intense at some point, that music keeps me going. It gets me jived up. It gets me, you know, ready to rock, whatever the case it might be. You know, a lot of times whenever I'm doing my editing, I'm listening to metal. I mean, I'm just that kind of guy. And I absolutely love those soundtracks that are just like, boom, boom. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just, there's a beat there that's just getting you into the mold of playing these games. Because it's a level of memorization, but it's also a level of just being able to react to what's going on screen and not being in the right mindset. Because I can tell you right now, if there's no music whatsoever in a lot of the older ones, a lot of the older shmups, they don't have a lot of music, or if they do, it's just a couple of little tones over and over. But the ones that do have music, especially like, I'm trying to think right now, R-Type, R-Type? Yeah, R-Type on the Master System, or you got like Super Darius. Yes, I do play Super Nintendo. There's a number of old school titles that even with that 8-bit, 16-bit noise could still get you into it. And I think that's a topic that I would like to allude to later on, is, you know, soundtracks and soundtracks and music in games. But I think you have to take into account that the music that's going on, somebody composed it, it actually fits the beat most of the time. And I'll be honest with you, I've got a lot, like the Hyperduel, Thunder Force 3, let's see what else, I've got a number of soundtracks specifically from shmups that are literally just sitting on my computer, and I listen to them all the time. I love listening to music when I'm editing, and it really gets me into it. So that's something else you can take away from these games. You don't necessarily have to just take away the gameplay. You can actually appreciate it for more than just that.
For sure. I feel like we could do an entire, and we probably should pretty soon, do an entire episode on just how that interplay between game soundtracks and the the player experience. I mean, I think you were alluding to this a little bit, but like with shmups, I mean, I think they can be complementary in that they help the player achieve that sort of zen state as they're starting to memorize the layout, the patterns and everything that are going on. And a good soundtrack can really just put that over the top. So that's really cool. Anybody else have any thoughts on that or,
Well, as I mentioned, I really don't pay attention to the soundtrack, and I know it's bad because some games really do have amazing soundtracks, and it doesn't happen just with shoot 'em ups. It happens with a lot of games. It doesn't always happen. There's exceptions. I actually have a folder of game soundtracks where cases a certain song, a certain theme, kind of gets my attention. I actually mentioned on my top 5 video about how much I loved the soundtrack for Loaded, for example, on the Saturn. It has some amazing songs, and one of those in particular, love that song, even though it's really simple. It's a really simple beat. But most times I really don't pay attention, and especially in frantic game, in action-packed game like shoot 'em ups, and I'm so focused on the screen, on what's happening on the screen, that like the soundtrack goes completely by me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can definitely see that as well. So I think with that, let's just close out real quick and just say, hey, I mean, we talked about a variety of shooters here throughout this episode, and some of them were horizontal based and others were vertical. just between those two paradigms, in general, which do you guys prefer? And
well, I will make it point and obvious. I absolutely love vertical shooters. I know I didn't say it to begin with. Bottom of the screen, tap the screen. I absolutely love them. Main reason being is the games that have it to where you turn the TV on its side, especially whenever you're using a flat screen that has widescreen mode. I know it's blasphemy. Don't play it in 16:9. I do it all the time. I don't care. It's a lot of real estate. It makes me feel like I'm back in the arcade. I love those games. I, you know, 1942, 1945, I grew up in the arcades with those games. Those are some of the arcade games I absolutely loved. So whenever it comes to me, and that's kind of in the vein of, like I was talking about with Larry Section 2, those games are amazing. Now, don't get me wrong, I love my horizontal shooters. That's all fine and great and everything. But, and basically, whenever you turn a vertical shooter to upside down, it turns it. Regardless, my point is I love vertical shooters because it really challenges your reflexes because you don't have as much real estate to know what's coming at you. So for somebody like me who really likes to be challenged by a shoot 'em up, that's kind of a added bonus to it because it just ramps up just how on the edge of my seat I am sometimes. But that's just me.
Yeah, and I think my brain just works better when I'm playing a top-down vertical shooter as well. I for some reason, I feel like the transition between what I'm seeing and my instincts to dodge left and right are a lot more direct when I can see the enemies directly above me rather than I feel like there's another step of processing, in a vertical or a horizontal shooter, you know, when they're coming from the left side or the right side of the screen, if I'm, you know, trying to figure, oh, okay, I have to go up and down. And I don't really find that quite as intuitive. So I definitely prefer vertical shooters as well.
So I also prefer vertical, as I think I mentioned earlier. And it's interesting that Sam raised a really good point about how vertical shoot 'em ups are hard to play at home. They were originally made for arcades where you could have a vertical screen. It's like there was no added cost, just buy a regular screen and mount it sideways. When played at home, even during the time of the Saturn, most Saturn games have what's called a TATE, or however that's pronounced, mode, which is it changes the picture sideways, so you're supposed to rotate your TV. I never did that with a CRT, and I have never done that with an LCD, even though modern televisions being 16:9 are perfect for that. I've never done it. It's just not practical. It's not practical for most people, so that's a drawback of playing vertical shoot 'em ups at home. But I also prefer vertical. And there are lots of differences. As I mentioned earlier, it's not just about the orientation. They play differently. One of those is that horizon. Of course, I'm going to be generalizing, so there is always exceptions. But just in general, horizontal shoot 'em ups have things like ground and ceiling. Like you're not in space. You have something above you and something below you that you can't hit or you can't touch or you'll die. Games like Gradius, for example. Gradius is one of the few horizontal shoot 'em ups that I kind of like. And vertical games don't have that. So you don't have to think about hitting like the ground or something like that. It's just you in space, in air. And also, in general, I think horizontal shoot 'em ups are more about memorization. Once again, this varies widely from game to game. But in general, I think horizontal games are more about memorizing enemy patterns. And so they're designed in a way that they're almost impossible to beat first time around because you don't know what's coming. Vertical shoot 'em ups, I think, are more about reflexes, even though there's a lot to gain in playing the game over and over again to memorize like bullet hell patterns in the case of bullet hells. But overall, I think they're more about reflexes, and just as Sam said, it's what I like. I like more for a game to have a game of this type to test my reflexes.
All right, y'all. Well, I think we covered a ton of ground with this episode. I mean, shmups are certainly one of the Saturn's strongest point, particularly as you get into the Japanese side of collecting for it. And it is definitely an episode that I think a few of us, or maybe all of us, have been wanting to do for a while. So it was kind of nice to be able to chat about some of our favorites and some of the things we find interesting about them. And I guess for those listening, thank you very much for hanging with us. I know this has been a bit of a longer episode than you're probably used to. If you want more, feel free to subscribe to our Buzzsprout or YouTube or wherever you found us, iTunes, Google Play. I think we're everywhere at this point. So with that, on behalf of Nuno, Sam, and Simon, this is the Virtua Schlub signing off.